Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, welcome in, everybody. It's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We've got a tight one-hour show for you tonight before the Blackhawks take on the Avalanche. So this week marks the 75th anniversary since the death of Chicago gangster Al Capone. Still so associated with our city, especially when you tell people when you're out of town that you're from Chicago, they're like, oh, Al Capone, like, really, really? 75 years later, so associated with this town. So author John Binder, a recognized authority on the history of organized crime in Chicago, will join us to talk about Capone's legacy. And Netflix series Ozark is in its final season, and one of the stars on the show, and she has a big role in these new episodes. It's Jessica Dukes, who plays FBI agent Maya Miller. We'll talk about part one of the fourth season now streaming. But first, and for the first time, Lauren Majere from WGN TV Sports joins us in studio.
Hello. I love it here.
You are here live in studio.
Happy Friday. How's it going? And the views here. Our city is beautiful, isn't it?
It is gorgeous. But here's the one thing about you is you sound like you're here in the studio every single week because there's a little desk. Mm-hmm. That's inside GNTV where Dean does it. I think there's some afternoon TV anchors that do it, but it makes you sound like we're right next to each other.
And nobody would know the difference. It's the magic of TV and radio.
So let's see if we can recreate the magic looking at each other. It might be tough.
Don't look at me.
I know. I keep looking down.
I'm so used to being in an office all alone.
I know. There's something to be said for that. But what a huge week for the Bears again. I mean, like, big news coming out of Halas Hall. New GM, new coach.
Yeah, it is. We knew this was coming because they have left no stone unturned.
Right.
They have called this search exhaustive. That is the way that they have described it. That is the way that they have attacked it. They have had interviews every single day outside of, like, Sundays ever since they got rid of Ryan and Matt.
But it seems quick to me. Like, this seems like something, it's a long-term investment. Like, I feel like they turned this quickly, or were they already in this process already?
That is a good question, and we'll never know the answer to that.
Okay.
But here's another thing. Yeah. They have to be quick about it because there are only so many people available, and there are other teams who are looking to fill those roles too. So you have to fight the balance of, is this the right move for us? And we don't want to lose this person.
True.
So,
okay.
I mean, they had to be aggressive about it.
Sure.
And they really have been. They had that 5-person team where it was a hiring committee. That way, they were able to bounce ideas off each other.
Which is smart.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They also did the same thing when they hired Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, but we're not going to go there.
I know. Another Ryan.
Another Matt.
So what do we know about Ryan Poles?
The irony of it. First-time GM.
Okay.
So it'll be first-time GM and first-time head coach.
Yeah.
So that is very interesting, and I'm not saying that you have to have experience to be successful at your job, because you can bring in someone who's experienced, and look where we're at.
It's true. That's very true. But you know what? I'm glad that Ryan got to pick his coach.
That's another thing, is the word
is... Who wants to manage somebody that you didn't pick yourself?
Right.
There's a level of responsibility there and investment when you're doing it yourself.
Right. Yeah. So there is a personal connection there. And I think that managers become biased toward who they hire. It's their choice. It's their creative outlook. It's an extension of them and what they're looking for in a franchise, in a team. One thing that is being said is that he went against George McCaskey and the hiring committee and who he wanted to hire in Eberflus, because that is one thing that says to me is he is not going to be a yes man like Ryan Pace was. He's going to go against the grain, and he's going to say, hey, this is my job now. I'm going to hire who I think is best. And I find that interesting.
And will the fans like that they weren't as big a part of the decision making?
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so too.
I mean, that's exactly what the fans have been screaming for, is someone who's not going to say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. He's going to say, no, I disagree.
Yeah.
This is my opinion, and this is what I'm going to do. You put me in this position to make these tough decisions.
But it is the McCaskies, you know, so you just got to be a little cautious with that. And then you got the Colts, Matt Eberflus. So tell us about this guy.
So he was the defensive coordinator for the Colts. Extremely successful there.
Okay.
He spent time with the Cowboys and the Browns as a linebackers coach, so obviously defensive-minded. One thing that a lot of people are saying is that expect to see the Bears defense go back to what, like, traditional Bears defense is. 4-3 defense.
Okay.
Really gritty. You're not going to see a lot of glitz and glam. It's going to be very traditional 4-3 defense.
Okay. All right.
And I find it very interesting that they hired a defensive-minded coach, considering a lot of the problems are on the offense. So
which he needs to get on.
You have to beg the question if they're going to bring in a new offensive coordinator.
I would think they would, yeah.
Look, Justin Fields is their quarterback. They're not swaying away from that.
Right.
So what is the first thing they need to do? Figure out who's going to be your offensive coordinator and then get in charge of that offensive line. What is the point of having a Justin Fields in your pocket if you're not going to protect him? He can't do anything, which is why he's always flushing the pocket, exposing himself to injury, because he doesn't have any time back there because the offensive line needs to be beefed up.
Very true. This is what I read about him. Honest, has integrity, and will hold players accountable. Always preached intensity, toughness, is considered a great leader of men, and Bears have been a soft team for years. That's what I read.
I believe that.
Okay.
And I think that's exactly what they're looking for.
Okay.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
As much as I love Matt Nagy as a person, I thought, and I don't know if soft is the word, but he was soft on his players because he valued being a player's coach so much. Because he was very rah-rah. He was very positive.
Yeah,
he was very, we care. Now we need to find the whys. And it's like, where's the accountability?
Right, right.
Where's the accountability?
It's true. It's very true.
So Eberflus is going to be the guy who's going to hold his players accountable. I think that's what they need.
It's the 6 o'clock hour, so we have to go to break already. So I know, we're always running out of time. So we're talking to Lauren Majerov from WGN TV Sports, and there's more after your rush hour traffic. All right, we're talking to Lauren Majerov of WGN TV Sports. So the divisional weekend of the playoffs is generally regarded as like the best weekend, and it did not disappoint last weekend.
It was arguably the most exciting weekend of football that ever there was.
Yeah, right.
Ever there was.
Yes.
All right, so four out of four games.
But you're younger, so maybe your lifetime. It could be that.
Not that much. Four out of four games was won on a game-ending play.
Yeah. It was crazy.
Three out of the four games ended on a walk-off field goal. I mean, it was just so impressive.
You know, when I'm usually watching a game, I am doing other things. I realized I couldn't do that.
Like, locked in.
Yeah, you had to.
Locked in. Yeah, you're right, because I'll have a monitor on my desk with the game on, but then I've also got the Blackhawks on and another monitor and the Bulls on and another monitor.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the whatever I'm watching, because I'm multitasking.
Sure.
I was locked in.
Yeah.
It was so impressive to see, and it made me jealous. I'm going to be honest. It made me jealous to watch how efficient these offenses are.
Yeah, these other teams.
It's like, man, why can't we have that?
Yeah.
Why can't we have quarterbacks like that who play like that, who can now be like, oh, all of these complete passes. It's such a beautiful thing.
But here's the crazy thing. Like, the two teams that we kind of all thought and was bantered about, it was always Green Bay against. And the Bucks were in there, too. And so how do you feel about that? Because I have to imagine Aaron Rodgers is not going to be with the Packers next year.
You can't imagine so.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And his offensive coordinator just went to the Cowboys. So
true.
You got to wonder.
Yeah.
And that is good news for the NFC North.
But
to get Aaron Rodgers out of there.
But the Bucks, like, is he done? Is he like going to hang it up, or does he still have to have one more?
I think if they would have gone to the Super Bowl,
He would have said, okay,
all right, I'm going to hang my hat.
Okay.
Tom Brady is way too competitive to walk away from a game ending like that, too.
Yeah.
Is
he 46? 46? How old is he?
I think he's 46.
Okay, all right.
I had Bills Packers in the Super Bowl, and I was very wrong, but I was happy to be wrong because it was so much more exciting to watch both of them lose the way that they did.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is my grievance against the NFL. They need to change the postseason overtime rules.
Yeah. I heard a lot about that, too. You're absolutely right.
You got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
You know, for the Bills to not even be able to, the offensive side of the offense, not even to be able to touch the ball in overtime. I get it. For the regular season, that makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Great.
Why are they different for the playoffs?
It's just what the overtime rules
are, but overtime.
I think they should be different for the playoffs.
Okay.
Because I feel like both offenses should get a shot. To not even touch the ball in overtime after the way that they came back and forth
Because this is it.
Right.
Because this is it. That's the last opportunity. So Bengals, Chiefs, 49ers, and the Rams. So what are you thinking?
I go back and forth. Every night on GN Sports, we talk about this, and I go back and forth. Look, I want to see Jimmy Garoppolo in a Super Bowl because he's a local guy. I love supporting local. I also would love to see Patrick Mahomes as the next new Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers.
Okay.
I love to see him successful. I also am happy for Bengals fans.
Yeah.
They deserve this. Let them have their time.
But, like, if you were invested in the whole season, these aren't the teams, I guess, I thought we'd be ending up with right now. You as well?
I mean, look, I thought when the Bears played the Rams week one, I thought that's a Super Bowl championship team.
Okay.
They are. They
yeah,
are
yeah.
so
Early
good.
On. Yeah, absolutely.
It was wrong. Okay. Could be wrong still.
But here they are.
But yeah, here they are, and they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
I like seeing Stafford successful, and I like seeing someone who was so doubted with the Lions because he was on a horrible team in the Lions be successful somewhere else.
So I got your opinion, like, because you like the locals and everything else.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think is going to make a great Super Bowl, though? Like, what do you think the two teams are going to be like, yeah, this is the perfect matchup?
This is why I go back and forth.
Is it Bengals-Rams?
Bengals-Rams. Every single day you ask me, I'm going to say a different answer.
Is that right?
Okay. Yes. I don't know why I keep going back and forth, because I don't know. What are you looking for? You know, I want Bengals fans to have this. I want to see the Rams. I want to see Matthew Stafford. I mean, he's impressive.
So speaking of Super Bowl, and you and I are going to be guesting on Facebook Live's Happy Hour with the Hoovers. With the Hoovers. And this is Wednesday, February 9th at 6 o'clock. So you get to look for Jeff Hoover's Facebook page, but it gets a lot of activity, and I mean, he's got thousands of people that watch this thing every single week. But
I don't know if I want thousands of people watching me having cocktails.
Well, it's very low key.
I prefer to have cocktails in private.
It's usually 20 to 30 minutes, so it's not. No one's going to see you inebriated.
My embarrassment can only reach so many people.
No, and they always only do one drink, but they're going to do two, one for each team, and she themes them out. But we will do a vodka drink for you and a bourbon drink for me.
Thank you.
That's how it has to work. But yeah, it's going to be Wednesday because I'm not on next week. Buzz Killman's filling in for me, so. Wednesday, February 9th, 6 o'clock. Jeff, of course, is the producer of the WGN Morning News. Wife, Tracy. You know, they started doing this during the pandemic. So, like,
what a good idea.
Day one.
Yeah.
And what's funny to me is they said, well, we're going to drink anyway. Let's just do it with everybody.
Let's just do it on Facebook Live.
Anyway. So,
and you get a fun themed cocktail.
Yeah.
And it was what everyone did during the pandemic.
Well, and they had special guests. They had, like, Bryan Cranston. They had, like, all kinds of people from around the country. So they had a lot of fun.
Well, I'm honored to be part of it.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. What is your top pick for a Super Bowl snack? And I've got the survey of what the top five things that people eat at a Super Bowl. But, like, for you, what are you going to grab?
It's unconventional, and you're going to judge me. And I don't care.
Oysters?
Caviar.
Caviar. Oh,
wow. It's caviar.
Fancy. Very fancy.
I told you were going to judge me.
What do you think it is, though? What do you think is, like, the national...
Nachos?
Wings.
Wings. Okay, I believe it.
But like, my son last year ordered from Hooters, and there was something where if you ordered, a Hooters girl would come bring it, you know, with a bodyguard or whatever. So... my son and his teen friends were
course.
Oh, yeah, we're doing this.
Yeah,
yeah, there's no question. Buffalo chicken dip is another one. Number three is spinach artichoke dip.
I believe that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like an easy thing to make, especially when you're having guests. You put it out. There's chips.
Pizza.
Yeah.
Seven-layer dip.
Oh, yeah.
Which is,
I don't think I've ever been to a Super Bowl party that didn't have seven-layer dip.
Sour cream, the beans, all that stuff. Yeah.
The queso. And
we always do pigs in a blanket. I'll play like smoky links and put them in the croissant, little thingies, and do that, and sliders. And I'm a shrimp guy, like a shrimp cocktail guy.
See? I'm not the only bougie one around here.
You are not. All right. Catch Lauren at the Sports Anchor Desk at 10:30 on GN Sports. And mark your calendars for Wednesday, February 9th for Happy Hour with the Hoovers. Facebook Live, 6 p.m. Search for Jeff Hoover on his Facebook page. This is a lot of fun face-to-face. It threw me off a little bit. It's just a little different.
Look, it's only 10 minutes away. I can come down here whenever you want.
I love that. It's beautiful. I love it. It's a great
view,
right?
Our city is gorgeous.
See, and you got some swag.
Yeah.
You got a little WGN
radio swag.
Yeah, you got some
swag. I'm
bringing
back to the TV station, throw it all in their face.
I like that. Thanks, Lauren.
Happy Friday.
News is next on 720 WGN.